This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, I'm John Oliver, member number one. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's wonderful to be with you. We're a little bit exhaustified here. Well, when I say we, I'm talking about
Gordon,
the exhausted.
And Phil, the not exhausted.
He didn't go to carnival yesterday, so he's all right.
Oh, yes, those of us who went, and there seemed to be a very large crowd. I didn't see the figures, but it looked like about 100,000 people.
There was a lot of people. There were a lot of people and dogs.
Oh, yes.
Lots of dogs. Yes, yes. And it was interesting to see a lot of families there. A lot of families, children, all the rest of it.
You mean the footpaths were cluttered with pushers?
No, not necessarily, but there were a lot of children walking around and fathers pushing prams and all the rest of it, pushing strollers, you know, not the actual pram, but the stroller. And it was very interesting, very, very pleasant day. The weather was pretty good. The sun came out in the afternoon. There was not a cloud in the sky. There was a pleasant little breeze blowing that sort of kept us a little bit cooler, but the sun still had the power. And there were a lot of victims walking around in very, very red skins.
On our stall, we had some free sunscreen in dispenser packs.
Yes.
And we had lots of people coming up and asking, can we have a squirt?
Oh, well, all right, if you wish.
Never say no to a squirt.
And so you stayed home, Phil, in the cool of your apartment.
With my poor sore legs.
Right, okay.
But it was a lovely day.
It's better when it's not sort of up in the 30s. And it was only 22 yesterday, so which was the official temperature. It was only kept that way by the breeze, which was nice.
And I don't think there was any roughness around the whole...
Never is.
There never is.
You know, you can get 100,000 people there and it's pleasant. There's never any fights, arguments, carry on or whatever you. You go to some of these other festivals, all they do is fight or fall over.
Well, it wasn't particularly fueled with alcohol, I don't think.
Yeah, well, they have with the carnival, they have a special place where the alcohol is served and you have to drink it there. You cannot walk around with bottles of beer in your hand and all that sort of stuff. So it's very good. It makes it very safe and very comfortable for everybody else.
Well, how many carnivals have we had now?
30. That's the 30th.
So surely they've solved all the problems.
Yes.
Or they keep creating new ones each year.
The only complaint that I had was that they didn't have anywhere to sell coffee. You had to go to the skate park kiosk to get coffee, and that was the only thing, and it was 40 minutes to get a cup of coffee.
Well, at least it'd be nice and cool by the time you get it.
Well, it was pretty hot when I got it. It was boiling my hands hot, carry it back to our tent for our guest our worker that we had there with us. Yeah. From overseas. Yes, we have it's amazing. Maurice comes out every year to work at Midsummer with the Vintage Men. He's just a lovely man, too.
Just by the by, though, what did we do 30 years ago and previous when we didn't have Midsummer Carnival?
How long is 30 years ago?
The
80s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even before the 80s, all you did was... 80s, you still had the discos where people would congregate and they would have, for long weekends and things, they would have the big parties
there. I don't think anybody really arranged anything in summer because there was too much competition. So the big event of the year would have been, I reckon, the Queen's Birthday.
Well, the Queen's Birthday weekend goes way back before then. It goes way back into the 50s and 60s when the Queen's Birthday weekend was on. Because after that, once the establishment of the disco started, that sort of fell apart because the Queen's Birthday weekend was always a huge weekend for the drag queens. They'd always take their costumes and everything. It used to be down at Portsea. I can remember going to Sorrento area.
I remember going to Yarra Glen.
Yeah, in the late 50s, it was always at Portsea.
I mean, three-legged races with two of the people in high heels and then trying to run three-legged in high heels is not a pretty sight.
It used to be a very fun time for all those that went to them. Yeah, I never bothered because I didn't have a car to get down to Portsea.
But we were illegal in those days.
Of course we were.
And I can remember the policeman sitting on the roads outside Eastland, where we would sort of congregate, sort of checking the cars as we drove past. And I don't know whether anybody got pulled over to the side of the road or anything, but, you know, we were a little bit bold in those days by going, some of us, in drag.
Some of them went actually in drag, didn't
they?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, you know, given their costumes, they couldn't reapply everything there.
Police are still trying to stop drag racing on the roads.
Thank you, Phil.
Nothing's new.
Nothing's changed, Phil.
No.
Nothing changes. Yeah.
But you were talking about your friend Maurice from England,
yes,
who comes out. Now, you were also, this was at the Vintage Men's Store.
Yes, he comes out every year. He got hold of us on the from the internet, apparently, and he contacted us, and we said, yes, come out, you know. And he's been coming out, I think, for 4 years now. He comes out every year. This year he went to Vietnam before he came, and he fell over, and he was telling me that the concrete was not very soft in Vietnam.
It tends to be that way.
Yes, and I said, well,
I think it's just in that area that the concrete is very hard.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah,
because our local concrete is quite padded.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I said to Maurice, I said, well, the point is it's very unforgiving. And he said, yes, it didn't apologise at all.
No. But also, what was happening at your store?
Oh, we just sold lots of books and some DVDs, which were the result of people giving them to us to raise money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had a couple of very well-known gay authors.
Yes.
We had Felice Picano. We had lots of his. And we had lots of Edmund White, who has actually had a birthday this week.
Oh, by the look of things, 13th of January, 1940, he was born.
Oh, well, last week or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, last week.
Last week, yeah. Yeah, and he's a great writer. He is a really great writer. And I had quite a lot of his books, and one chap came in. I think he bought 9 of them in one go. Yeah, yeah.
Just for our younger listeners, what's a book?
It's something with pages that you open and turn and read.
Paper and print.
Paper
and print. Yeah, paper
pages. Because I'm sure they've read about them online.
Yes, I'm sure they have. But it's surprising the number of books we actually sold yesterday. It's quite amazing. And Maurice was even excited about selling the books because he said over in England, they don't have anything like Carnival.
No.
They have the Pride March. They have their Pride March, he said. And at the end of the Pride March, they tried to have some of the different groups tried to sell books and stuff. He said, not a soul bought any.
No.
And he said, it's amazing out here in Australia that we do buy books.
Well, we have the weather for it.
Well, you have the weather for it. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a secondary use for books if you've got a copy table that wobbles.
Oh, is that right?
Put a book under the short leg.
And we had lots of people caught doing that. And we had a box of DVDs that were of all different sorts. There was none of that personal stuff. They were all decent sort of movies and stuff. And we saw quite a few of those as well, which was nice.
Oh, that's good.
And for our younger viewers, a DVD is very similar to a Blu-ray.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, oh.
Just lower resolution.
Is that anything like a Stingray?
No.
Oh, right.
I won't go there.
It's marvellous how technology moves forward, and
we'll be talking
a little bit later about an anniversary that's come up around about this time, and it might have been dangerous at the it wasn't dangerous at the time, it was
havoc-causing.
It was released onto the public, but the modern versions are very, very nasty.
Malicious.
And we're not talking about blue bottle jellyfish or anything like that either. Stay tuned for that. Here on Joy 94.9, you've got a safe place.
Yes. And I will tell you what, it's a very safe place yesterday. There was, as we said at the beginning, nothing went wrong or didn't appear to go wrong at all. No arguments, no fights, no nothing. Everybody was happy to see one another. They were in a safe space.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that, but that was Mr. Safe Cities.
Safe Cities. Well, Melbourne is a safe city.
Capital city, safe and sound.
And we're the most livable city.
That's right.
And the Lord Mayor was there too.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for being with us being Chris, Phil and Gordon, and the show has been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
And you can write to us. Tell us how good we are.
Oh.
Or be honest.
Be honest.
And the address Gordon knows off the back of his hand.
Been there at joy.org.au. Thank you, Phil, yes. Because you're the usual one that gives it out. I don't have to remember it.
So you throw things at me, both of you, and I sit there and think, oh my God, I've got to say something. And sometimes I do.
This show is choreographed. Sometimes we're caught flat-footed.
That's right. When you hear a thud, that's literally what's happening.
Yeah. Before the music, we were talking about Edmund White and the US author, born in 1940.
There was another US author born around this time, wasn't it?
1921 she was born, on the 19th of January. And we're talking about Patricia Highsmith.
She wrote great gay novels for the ladies.
Rather detailed.
Very detailed. She's a very good writer, actually, and she's had quite a few of her books made into films.
Well, one of those that was shown recently, I think last year, was a film called Carol.
That's right. And
Kate Blanchett, I think, was the...
Blanchett? Was
And I didn't go to see it, but I understand from some of the girls here in the office that it was interesting.
Yeah, well, that's because it was about a young girl, a married woman played by Blanchett, who saw a young girl and she had this thing, apparently. I remember reading the story about it, from the film review, but I didn't. I get very, very little time to go and see movies, actually, but it's one of those things, you know. But it got very good reviews.
But if you want to get lots of bums on seats to see a film, you need the church to ban it.
Yeah, that's the thing, yes. If you can get it.
It's the best publicity in the world.
Yes, there's always. Well, it's the same with books, isn't it? If you ban a book or a recording or a piece of art or something or other.
Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young was about Catholic girls.
Oh, that's
starting
right.
Too late.
Yeah, starting too late, yes.
And all the Catholic radio stations banned him and he got a gold record.
He got a gold record and he got millions of dollars for it.
Yes.
It's true, but Patricia Highsmith wrote a lot of books. She wrote all the Ripley series.
They're psychological thrillers, a lot of her books.
Well, did you see the...
In vogue at the moment, psychological situations.
Oh, God, yes.
And by Ripley's we mean... Not Ripley's, believe it or not.
No.
It's the talented Mr. Ripley.
The talented Mr. Ripley and what happened... And that was a very, very good story and a very good movie because right to the end you didn't know what was happening. It was just amazing. She got a talent for keeping you occupied with your characters when you read her.
So obviously these are books that should be read by certain parts of the community, just like your Edmund White books are collected and favoured. Because once you get into an author, you can recognise their style of writing and you can really understand what they're putting over.
That's right. It doesn't hurt to have Matt Damon and Jude Law in the cast of the film either.
When you're making a film, no, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. I think Jude Law was Ripley, wasn't he?
No, Damon was Thomas Ripley.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Jude Law was the guy he basically was in love with wanted to be.
That's right, yep.
Someone who else has got a pretty good reputation and is from our community and our current community, born on the 17th of January 1942, and still going strongly...
Very strongly.
...is Ida Butros, AO and OBE.
AO.
She's not over 80.
Like a cheerio, doesn't it? AO.
She was in the media, and she initially started out with the Australian Women's Weekly, and then she got into the Packer Empire and started writing in newspapers, and she got Clio going. Clio was a bit of a sharp magazine for the time because it actually had a colour centrefold.
And who was the first one?
Oh. Was the actor.
John, married the two women, had the two women sisters. Oh, come on.
Can't remember his face, but I know where the staple was.
Yeah. But it was titillation for the women, but of course, the gay audience, which Ida probably didn't recognise at the start.
Yeah, but
the time,
the gay men would just run in and have a look who the centrefold for the month was.
Yeah,
and say, oh, okay.
But it was
Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson. Yes. That's right. Oh, and did you see him on TV a couple of nights ago on SBS? Jack has grown a bushy beard and wears a big bush hat and lives in the middle of nowhere.
That's right. Yes, but he always liked being out in the bush.
I thought, oh, golly gosh.
And that picture was taken before waxing was in vogue.
Oh, right.
That's just a personal comment.
But because Ida was in this wonderful position, she also became president of the National President of Alzheimer's Australia and the Vice President Emeritus of Arthritis Australia. And she used her national profile to raise awareness for breast cancer and prostate cancer and HIV/AIDS.
She was very early in the HIV/AIDS thing as well. She was one of the very first women to come in, the powerful women to come in and be with the on the AIDS, HIV/AIDS thing, because right at the very beginning, it was the lesbian community that came in to support the gay men that would had the virus.
The beauty of her audience at the time, because they would have been the blue rinse set, and they would have been the last to learn about HIV and AIDS. So bringing her in with her audience educated a huge chunk of the population and would have calmed things down considerably.
Yep.
She educated where other forms of education didn't particularly come across particularly well. And that's actually what she got her AO for, for services to the community in the fields of medical education and health care, and the OBE that she got is for her services to journalism. Someone else who wouldn't and didn't quite make it to 80 is
the member of the 27 Club.
27?
That's right.
A whole bunch of famous people didn't make it past 27.
Hmm.
Wow.
Like
who?
Jim Morrison from the Doors.
Doors,
The actor.
Kurt Cobain.
Jimmy Dean, the actor.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. It's not a popular club to be in.
No.
People aren't lining up to get in. They're dying to get in.
Oh.
Well, that's a point too.
Yes. Now, we're talking about Janis Joplin.
Yes, what a talent.
The US folk singer. Now, she
had a voice that could open a can of tomatoes.
I think her voice spoke a million words in itself.
Spoke of her lifestyle.
Her lifestyle,
it did,
yes.
She was no angel.
Oh, no.
Oh, well,
she didn't fall into the 27 Club. She jumped in. So, yeah, I think anything that could be smoked, ingested.
I was going to say she was one of the flower people. She was of the pot smoking era that came in the early 70s of US.
But she probably enjoyed her 27 years greater than a lot of people did.
I'm sure she did too, yeah.
Let's have a little listen to Janis Joplin, because
with one of her most famous songs.
Well, a cappella.
Good. This is a brilliant version of a brilliant song.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9, Gordon, Phil and Chris. And still trying to get over Carnival yesterday.
It was a big day.
There were so many community organisations had stalls there, and it was a wonderful place to expose some of those things or groups that we only see the names of in print.
That's
or
right.
Mentioned in conversation. But one of them that was there was the Australian Marriage Equality Group, and we've got on the line a director. We've got Tim Peppard from there. Hello, Tim.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we're doing ever so well. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today on the show.
My pleasure.
Now, you were a little bit exhausted after the carnival's carry-on.
Yes, we were setting up from 7:30 and we didn't leave till 6:30. And we had a very popular stall there, and we were lucky to get lots of photos of people on our equality wall, and we were selling a range of items to support marriage equality, and fortunately we did a good trade.
Now, why would you be wanting to get some support from the general gay community? Because we've been stalled, isn't it?
It has been stalled. Now, the good news from the end of last year is that the plebiscite is dead and buried.
Thank goodness.
And thank goodness. And but we've still got the fight. And it's very important, you know, if we've done the numbers strategically and very extensively, if a free vote was allowed by the Liberal and National parties, we currently have the numbers in the House of Reps and in the Senate that a vote allowing marriage equality would pass. And it's very important that the politicians realise that the level of support out there is the majority of Australians support this. Over 60% in numerous polls across Australia, 60% of Australians support marriage equality. There's no question about that.
Tim, I was watching on television the other night when Mr. Turnbull was on, and he was talking about this thing that's been going on with the payment of what the politicians are claiming for. And he made a statement. He said, "We will have to do what the people want." And I screamed out, "What about marriage equality, you idiot?"
Indeed.
He says these things but does nothing about it.
Well, the point is we're now speaking with individual Liberal MPs and individual National MPs, along with Labor and National, to discuss a possible bill that would hopefully prompt one or two Liberal backbenchers to grow a spine, or in the euphemism, grow some balls,
yep,
to cross the floor. And it's a very delicate thing because, don't tell your listeners, this is all secret, but, you know, there are people who are prepared to do this, but they've got to do it. It's a once-off item. If it failed, we won't have any progress until after the next election, where marriage equality would be a huge issue for the party, for the Liberals, and they would say distracts the electorate from other issues. So it's very important that we show the support that people have. And we've got some new branding. AME has joined with Australians for Equality in a broad equality campaign. And it's we've got a website, equalitycampaign.com.au. And it's got the map of Australia with the states coloured in different rainbow colours with equality across it. And that's our branding until we get marriage equality. We've got we have T-shirts and stickers and bins and T-shirts and towels and everything in it. Doggy bandanas, they were selling well. And so that's what we're the more people who wear those T-shirts, have those stickers, wear those pins, and the more they're seen, the more the MPs realise the broad support for marriage equality.
Now, as well as the politicians needing to know, that the general public needs to know as well that there is a great number of people who have actually gone and got married as gay couples using the laws of other countries.
Indeed.
Now, I don't know what the statistics are, but it would be marvellous to actually have a group photo of them saying, well, all these people have got married under international rules, and that's a contrast point. But then you've got all those couples that have been living together in sin for the last 20, 30, 40 years.
But might I say...
Indeed. Victoria and Australia is full of same-sex couples, men and women, and all genders, who've been together for many years. And in fact, We are now trying to get a list of as many people as we can who are long-term couples.
Yeah.
Just in a sense that if we have a big event, that we could invite them all to it and see if we can get group photos or group pledges from lots of couples who've been together saying we want to marry. And it's, you know, Bob and Sam together 20 years or Jack and Ross together 41 years or whoever it is. And that's what we're now, one of the aims we're trying to do now, build up a bit of a database of people who are wished to be included in the database. Some people maybe not want to be, but some people, I think many people will.
Yeah. Now the public exposure of this could be done in a delicate and simple way on Pride March. Have you been considering the Pride March this year on the 29th of January?
Indeed, that's what we're doing. We're going to be, among all our supporters, we're asking for couples who've been together a significant time, and that can be however much they consider significant. But given the fact that most politicians are over 50 years of age, we're thinking we'd love to get a range of people who've been together, that they themselves are sort of in an older cohort, who have been together either, you know, 10 plus years.
Well, Canberra doesn't seem to have any problem with Justice Kirby and his partner being living together. So, you know, what about us plebs at the other end of the social scale?
Well, Equality Campaign and Australian Marriage Equality is inviting all older couples or couples of X years, whatever the X is, to join us in the Pride March this year on January 29th, to march with us up the front in the Pride March.
The thing with Tim, though, with a lot of the people that have been together for a long, long time, still a lot of them are not quite out, you know what I mean? They don't.
Oh,
like,
no, indeed. And so many of the people who wish to join us, you know, course. But, like, yesterday at Pride March, two of my friends, they've been together for 41 years, Jack and Ross. I went to their 40th wedding party last year, anniversary party last year. And there are people, also too, some of them now are retired or they're now so established that people know they've got long-term partners. But it's different to when they were younger. But and also too, we wouldn't dare ask anyone to do something that they're not comfortable with. However, for people who are comfortable to join us, they're not going to be names in the paper, they're not going to be identified, but it's actually, for people who've never done it, walking, and it's not a long distance, Fitzroy Street, St Kilda's not a really long distance, and for people who've never been in it, to have the crowd cheering you when you walk along, it's very affirming, it's actually a really lovely experience, you think, oh my goodness, and all the crowd are cheering you on, it's a wonderful feeling.
Well, we saw that with Rainbow Families, with the cohort of women, lesbians, married mothers, unmarried mothers, whoever, walking their prams and their kids through Pride March, and the cheers they got. And it was broadcast on the nightly TV and in the press. It was brilliant.
Yes.
Wonderful exposure.
Yes. And we've even got Holden has been very kind to donate two vehicles to us so that if someone's really old and not got a bad hip or something, they can ride in a convertible.
That sounds like a good idea, a very good idea, because people don't realise that a lot of people have been together for that long. I've had a couple of one member of my family, in almost immediate family, she was with her partner for 40 something years, but the other partner died, and in another couple of men that I know, they'd been together for over 40 years, and one of them passed away because of the age. You see, but there are people that have been together for that length of time.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And so we're asking people to join our other supporters, couples, to well, it's actually a walk or more a bit of a shuffle. It's not a march.
And, it's a stroll.
You always have to stop for the dykes and bites and the joy, you know, things stand up the front, you know, the mobile joy music machine and everything. So it's more of a shuffle. But it's actually a very pleasant experience. And if anyone listening to this or even on the podcast later on, if they want to get in touch with us, just email me. It's Tim Peppard, one word, P-E-P-P-A-R-D, at australianmarriageequality.org. And or else even possibly, if you don't mind, through the station and your guys' email's address, you know, the show's email address.
Sure.
You could forward it on. And if anyone has any queries, they can. I'll easily telephone them back and we'll liaise on it. But it's just if people want to do it. But looking at the Carnival Day this year, it was such a lovely occasion. And we had we gave away free buttons to all the Victoria Police constables, all the fit, young, healthy Victorian constables that I could find. And they happily wore our badges. And one of the senior constables says, "Have you had any aggro today at the stand? You know, anyone criticising you or anything?" We had none. And on Pride Day, it's such a lovely day. You don't get heckled and harassed or anything like that. It's just a nice, affirming day. It's very pleasant.
Yeah, because everybody's there to support. That's the thing, isn't
it? Yes, that's right.
The whole of the crowd is there to support all of us as we march down the street. Yeah.
Tim, we'll gladly put those contact points in our little podcast notes and people can...
Oh, you're very kind.
Yeah, we've got them here and we can do that. And, of course, if you want to make the connection through the show, been there at joy.org.au and we'll ping them on to Tim and the rest of the crew at Australian Marriage Equality. Tim, thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
We'll see you at Pride March.
Oh, good-o. I look forward to it.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. There's more. But first, here's 24K Magic, Bruno Mars.
Tonight.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You are with Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Phil, Gordon and Chris.
And it's been a fun show so far, but interesting with
Tim
with about Australian marriage equality, yes, and it's something that has to come in, you know. But
well, Pride March is such a wonderful vehicle for actually getting groups together to get some exposure, but also bringing up the confidence of the people in the group.
Yep.
As Tim was saying, it's not a confronting march or anything like that, and you can be quite anonymous in there because it's just a crowd out of people walking down an ordinary street, but the people up the front have got the banners, and you're with like-minded people, and
that's
it's
right,
a safe zone.
I know when Vintage Men walk down with our banner, we get huge applause because we're the oldest.
Yeah,
you know? They're the old ones, you know.
But they're clapping harder because they're not sure if you can hear them.
Oh, thank you, Philip.
It wasn't more. It's not enthusiasm. It's amplification.
Just amplification. Yeah, okay, all right.
29th of January. Yes. Sunday
the 29th.
Fitzroy Street.
Yes.
St Kilda. March kicks rolls
about
at
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, I think it is. Yeah.
We imagine here we are in this century, in 2017, with the same fight for equal rights that went down in America in the 1960s.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
We're fighting our own government to be recognised.
To equality, yes. And as one of the badges I had yesterday at the carnival was, all people are equal.
Gee, that's a new idea.
Yeah, well,
you should go to Canberra.
Should I?
You'll get thrown out of town.
Oh, well, I saw my local member there, but I didn't think it was very... Yeah, I won't talk about that.
Okay.
No.
So some events have been occurring a long time ago and still echoing to our current world. One of the things that happened back in 1986 was the first computer virus, Phil.
Yes, it was not malicious. And it was written by the Farouk brothers. I won't say their first names because I can't.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine. They're brothers. And they're in Lahore, Pakistan. And they wrote this little bit of code. Now, this is before the internet. Mm-hmm. So they wrote it as part of the operating system, which will remain unnamed. But it was before what we have today. So it's
right.
Windows. It was very... 1986 was a very primitive time.
So it was a version of DOS or something.
Well, I wasn't going to say DOS because...
Well,
DOS is embarrassing.
Yes, exactly.
But or to have been around long enough to know DOS is embarrassing. But anyway, the disk operating system...
DOS.
...written by Microsoft was very crude.
So
very
just for
rough.
The youngsters, you actually had to put in the driving machine from a floppy each time you fired it up.
Yeah, a floppy disk had the startup sequence for the computer.
Wow!
Well, not the... Okay, we'll go right back to basics. On the motherboard of your PC, you would have had a little programmable memory chip, which are the bootstraps. Yeah. So a computer would pull itself up by its bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough to say, go to the floppy disk drive and start reading from track zero, byte zero.
Yeah.
And that would be the instructions to tell these bunch of components, you're now a computer.
Oh,
and then you'd have another floppy drive if you wanted to insert a program or stored data.
Data.
Compared to what we're doing now, it was like living in a cave.
Yeah, wow.
So you hit the screen with a rock.
I'm sitting here just amazed at the progress that has been made since those days.
Yeah, well, at the same time, well, we had the Macintosh, but...
This is pre-Macintosh.
Macintosh was 1984. This is 1986.
Oh, right. Okay. So,
but Windows didn't exist.
So what did these guys with the virus do?
They wrote a little program that would duplicate itself onto the DOS startup disk.
Oh, yeah.
Not to cause any damage or anything, but just to leave a little file with their phone number on it. And there was really... It was more an experiment than anything, because they were getting phone calls from all around the world from people who had illegally copied the DOS disk with their virus on it. That's how it spread, through illegal copying.
Yeah.
So instead of going to your computer shop and say, could I have a fully licensed version of a DOS, you'd basically just copy the boot disk from someone else who had a computer.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is like putting a smiley on the tail end of someone else's email and sending that email on.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the few people that actually noticed the phone number and called gave these two brothers an indication of how widespread the virus went.
Wow.
And it went worldwide.
Oh. Yeah, well,
of course.
Now we've got a whole series of new sorts of viruses that are very malicious.
And they're spread instantaneously through the internet.
And quite innocently, we receive them.
Well, don't read mail from people you don't know.
If I don't know who sent it to me, I never open it.
And if it says you won a lottery, you didn't.
You didn't.
I did.
Or they've got money in a bank somewhere for you.
And the tax office will never ask you to fire an email.
Yeah. Be careful out there.
Oh, that's golly gosh.
Yes. Well, look at the time.
Oh, yes, it's coming up, but we've still got 7 minutes left to do something, Mr. Gordon.
Have we?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Another piece of exposure a little later this month, on the Sunday, the 22nd of January, will be the inaugural Vic Pride football match, soccer football, and mixed teams from both the police and the LGBTI soccer clubs will face off in a friendly match to recognise and celebrate the strong relationships between Victoria Police and the gay communities. Isn't that a turnaround?
I think it's wonderful.
That is wonderful to know, but how did this all occur? Well, two things. The cops disgraced themselves with their behaviour at the Tasty Raid, and they realised we were a community that needed to be noticed. And then the Commissioner of Police decided that because there were so many gay people in the police force, that she could bring herself and her troops into Pride March.
That's right.
And she did, the biggest applause.
Mm-hmm. And of course, then you've got the GLOWS, which are another group.
The GLOWS were the people within the police community. That actually alerted the commissioner to the fact that there was lots of gay people in the force.
And there's also the Labor Party's or Labor government's apology to the gay community, which helped bring the police and our community closer together.
That's right. Yep. It sounds like it could be a great game of football, actually.
Indeed. So that's actually going to be out at the Knox Regional Football Centre, 3:30 onwards, on Sunday the 22nd of January. Entry's free. Families welcome. Rainbow families as well.
So that's next Sunday.
Yes.
Next Sunday. And
or if you're listening to us on the podcast on Monday morning, you have just missed the day.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Someone who's having birthdays round about this time are a couple of male singers. One of them is straight, and he was a partner with Robbie Williams. Oh, he was a gay idol, although he wasn't himself gay. He was part of the group Take That, and we're talking about Gary Barlow.
Yes, he's having a birthday this week, somewhere along the line. The 20th or something or other, 20th of January. So,
and Take That never applied to their albums in store.
No.
You had to buy them.
You had to buy them.
Yes. They should have pointed that out more clearly.
I think so.
But it's amazing that he had such a gay following, and take that was one of those gay boy bands, a Brit boy band, and they did them quite well.
But they were all quite good-looking people, you see. This is what appeals, you see, when you see a group of young men, you know, and they appeal to people.
Well, you have, there's a recipe for boy bands.
Yeah.
And you have the shy one.
Yeah.
And the sort of macho one who's, you know, sits there with his arms crossed. And then you have the various singing talent. But it's very much formulaic.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I am shocked.
If you watch reruns of Spicks and Specks,
yeah,
they create a boy band out of their audience, and it's hilarious.
Oh, so no.
Keep an eye on ABC Two.
Oh, I thought that they just happened. Oh.
Well, of course, some of the boy bands, one of the big boy bands, I think, was One Direction. They were two groups of people that would come together after one of those talent shows.
My Shattered Illusions.
That's X Factor.
Yeah, they were all, well, quite frankly, they were all rejects. Yes, as a group, they worked
out. They didn't win anything was when they were two separate things. Yeah. They come together and made.
But see, there were different looks in there. There were the cute little Bond boy.
Mm-hmm,
who's
right.
The only one who's continued on singing.
Yes.
Although Zayn has a song out at the moment.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's amazing the way these things develop as groups of people, and they've even had girl groups that have done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
They've got.
But the trouble is, they all get old. Now we look at the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you one thing, they ain't girls.
Oh,
long time since they've been girls. And the spice is gone.
The spice is gone. It's, oh, right. The pepper's gone all over it.
And Posh Spice is trying to stop the reunion concert.
Is she?
If you want a bit of goss.
Oh, dear. Well, someone who else is one of these survivors from a TV talent quest is Will Young. He was the inaugural UK Idol winner in 2002. He is out and very proud.
Mm-hmm.
And
has a great voice.
He has a great voice, and he's kept himself nice. And he's got endorsements left, right, and centre, and he's very philanthropic and not a bad singer to boot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Queen asked him to set up her party. He was the talent coordinator for that.
Wow!
So, because of him, she didn't have to sing It's My Party, I Cry If I Want To.
Oh, I thought you were going to come up with a corgi song of some sort. But
I don't know any corgi songs.
I wonder if Cupcake knows any King Charles Spaniel songs.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Yes.
Look, it is about time that we shut shop and get ourselves ready for next week, because we've had a wonderful time. Hope you've enjoyed yourselves with us. We'll do it again next week with new information and old information.
Try and get along without us.
Here's Will Young with a song called Jealousy, and we are most jealous of lots of people, but we try and contain that.
Jealousy is a wasted emotion.
It is.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.